You do know, David, that David had gone out, and what David did was he saw a woman that was so beautiful that he would do anything to get her. Oh, she was beautiful. He couldn't take our eyes off of her. And he found out, though, that, oop, there's a problem, David. Oops, what is it? She's married. Oh, no. She's married. I mean, I'm crazy about a woman. I want a woman who's married. Well, I'm the king. I can fix that. David is the same one that slipped a note to Joab and told him that when her husband gets go out to battle tomorrow, I want you to make sure that he's on the front line. And when the battle gets real hot, I want y'all to desert him. Yes, I do. Leave him out there by himself and just let the arrows get him. And that'll be the end of Uriah. David was a murderer. David took that man's wife. Is this a little too deep for y'all? Y'all got your halo. See, now this is the part of the service. You got to take your halo off now, see. Can't be no halos. Unplug your halos. I know you got. You see. And he impregnated somebody else's. Can I? Is that? Amen. And so what happened was. Amen. He made her his wife. David was a low down. David was a. David is, and he took his another man's wife, made her his wife, and had a baby by her. And so now he's committed adultery. He's committed murder and adultery. And he let her son become Solomon. We talked about Solomon last week. Her son wrote books in the Bible. Her son became the wisest man on earth. God, now I believe you ought to be good, but if you're going to let a man who murdered somebody and somebody who takes another man's wife and have a son and let her son become famous, I know you good, but now you are. That's what he did. Folk don't like it because God's so good. Some folks said, well, Lord, I can't believe you let them. Don't you know what kind of reputation they got? Don't you know where they been? Don't you know all those tattoos they got? God will take somebody out of the club and make them run circles around me up in the pulpit. You think I'm joking? He just that good. You and I both know David needs to be under the jail. The baby died. Death was brought to the family. But God still took all of the ugliness. And David discovered that it's really not because of me, but it's because of God's goodness. It's not my goodness. I'm not worthy. I can't cancel myself out. I can't rule myself out. You can't rule nobody out. Don't rule nobody out now. God can touch Saul. You remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul made a living killing folk. He was killing Christians. It was his. He got up every day. The Bible says he was breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And God made him the number one apostle. You done murdered all these folk. I know you're good, God, but now I'm beginning to think you're just you. Theologians call it the word ineffable. I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E-L-E. Ineffable. That means that you're too good to really be expressed with words. That's why they say God, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You can't really. God's name is even above, but God is such a good God. He is just too good. David says, surely I made a discovery about God's devotion and that it's God's goodness and mercy. You know where that come from? Verse number 3, where it says that he says that God restoreth my soul. And he leads me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes. God's name is on the line. And he is determined that he's going to take care of you and that he's going to bless you if you are one of his sheep. And God is doing it not so much because of you, but because of who he is. It's not that we are good. I'm not up here because I'm good. I'm up here because he's good. And it is the goodness of God. A lot of people don't like it, but do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, it says, don't despise the riches of his goodness. Don't get mad at it. I know you want to, you know, you get God so good, you know. He said, don't despise the riches of his goodness. You remember that man that Jesus went out and hired? He hired a man at the third hour, and he agreed to pay him a penny a day. And then another man came. He hired him about the sixth hour. And then another man came. He hired him about the 11th hour. Pretty soon, everybody was fitting to get paid. You know what God did? He paid them all the same. Now, the guy that had been there first came, and he came up there and said, now, Lord, now, I think you got something twisted here because I've been here first. I was here the third hour. This guy came in the 11th hour, and he going to get paid? We all getting a penny? It seems like I got 3 pennies. He getting a penny like me? And Jesus told him, he said, friend, you know, Jesus is so cool, you know, he just called him friend. I'm trying to think of where I found that at, amen. Amen, it's somewhere in my notes. He said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't we agree to pay, didn't I agree to pay you a penny a day? Yeah, well, take your penny. He said, take that as thine and go on about your business. And then he made another statement. He said, now, is your eye evil because I'm good? Is your eye evil? Amen. Are you hating on me just because I'm just a good? I'm good. I know, Jesus. Now, I understand you good, but if you're going to pay this guy, and I done worked here longer than him, you're not only good, you don't let anybody run over you like that, Jesus. That's you don't have to do all that, but that's the way he is. That's the way he is. And then those who had been, I hate to use this word, but they were kind of wicked in their practices and their dating habits. And so they would even, you know, date the same gender. And he said, now, don't get mad at me. When you read the riches of God, he says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he said, don't get mad at the riches of God. Don't get mad at the riches of his goodness. Don't get mad because God is too good. Don't get mad at it. He says, because it is the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. God says, don't get mad. It's the goodness of God that brings people to him. He's so good till he won't let you go. He won't let you go. You can go out and do whatever you want to do. God still ain't going to give up on you. He's so good. He's so good until it's the goodness of God that brings a person to repentance. As I go to a close here, the fact of the matter is that God is just a good God. We need to be some good people. Jesus asked the man, he says, your eye evil because I'm good? He said, now just because you bad don't mean I'm supposed to be bad. Because you wouldn't do it don't mean God wouldn't do it. God is just that kind of a God. He'll forgive those who don't deserve it. He'll love the unlovely. He'll help the unhelpful. God is not like us. Aren't you glad of that? God is not like us. God won't give up on us. He's just too good to people. That's what's interesting as to why you would think somebody would desert God. David discovered surely goodness and mercy. Mercy is what I don't deserve. Amen. Mercy, mercy. You know, when you go to court and you know you're guilty, you don't want justice. You want mercy. Amen. Anybody here want to go to heaven and want some justice? Amen. You don't want no justice. Matter of fact, you need some mercy. Mercy is when God don't give you what you deserve. I know I don't deserve it, but he gives it to me anyway. I want some mercy. And David said, you know what? I discovered something. It's your goodness and your mercy that's just going to follow me every step I take, all the way, all the days of my life, every step I take, not some of the days. David says, I've committed murder, I've committed adultery, and you know what? He calls me the man after his own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and his goodness and his mercy are going to pursue me all the days of my life. And I don't deserve none of it. But David said, I'm not going to worry about it because he's the judge. I ain't worried about you. I already got the word from the judge. His goodness, his name is at stake, and he's going to make sure that he gets you to heaven. He's going to get you all the way to his house. Goodness and mercy going to follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, goodness and mercy are going to follow me, and I'm going to dwell and stay with God. His house going to be my house. His home is going to be my home. We talk about what David discovered. We talk about the devotion of David. We talk about the duration of that true goodness of God. It lasts all the days of my life. But then we see the destiny of each one of the children of God, the destiny of each sheep. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is too good. God is too good. That's all I came to say. Amen, amen, amen. God is too good for you to be skipping Sunday school. God is too good for you not to be reading your Bible. He is good to you, isn't he? God is too good for you not to be sharing your faith. He just absolutely too good for you to be missing church. God doesn't care what you've done. He is too good. He's greater than whatever sin you got. God is too good. He has come back and help you time after time after time. Your heart ought to be bubbling over with joy. God is too good for you to be frowning. God is too good for you to have an attitude. God is too good for you not to wave your hand and make your makeup run. God is too good for you not kick your shoes off. God is too good to need some help in the choir and you won't help him. God is too good. He's just too good. Amen. But yet God's program is lacking because you are slacking. God's program is lacking because you are not committed. God's program is often lacking because you are not obligated. God, as good as God is, God should not want for anything. God, I'm here to let you know, God is too good. God is too good. God is too good for you to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. God is too good for you to go to hell. Look at David. You're not worse than David. Have you murdered anybody? God is too good. God said, bring me your sins. Bring me your background. Bring me your past. Bring it all to me. Bring it up here and I'll show you what my goodness and my mercy will do. God is too good for folk to stay away from church. I don't care what the folk in the church are doing. They ain't got nothing to do with it. They not going to judge you anyway. What difference does it make? God is too good. I'm going to raise my hands and praise his name every time I get a chance. I might do a holy dance. Have I got a witness? If I can do it with the cowboys and all these other folk dancing around, surely I can wave my hand. God is too good to not get whatever. Lord, what do you want? What do you want? God is too good. But yet we oftentimes find ourselves where we are not where we ought to be. But when we think about the too goodness of God, have I got a witness? When I think about God and all of his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Because God has been so good. God is too good. Jesus loves me. The Bible says, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. The fact of the matter is that God is just too good. He's so good, he's too good for words. You can't express how good God is. And so you need to go tell somebody, no matter what they've done, say, God is too good. But you not to be at somebody's church. You may not want to be at Zion Rest, but you need to be somewhere worshiping him. You need to be somewhere with your hands up. You need to be somewhere serving him. You ought to be somewhere working for him. Have I got a witness here? He's so good. Isn't he good? He's so good. Till he's forgiven me of all of my sins. That's just the kind of a God that he is. When I think about God, I think about the goodness of God. God has blessed us and he has taken care of us and he cared for us even when we didn't deserve it. God's goodness. And one day I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God didn't make us love him. How long would it take for you to love me if I took a gun with a bullet in it and put it up to your head? You love me pretty quick. You say, I love you, wouldn't you? Amen, amen. But God didn't put a gun up to our head. Now, God does not force us. God does not make us love him. Amen. But God loves us, and we should voluntarily love him. Why? Because he's too good not to love. Who wouldn't love God? God is too good for you to not be a member of a church. God is too good for you not to be somewhere working and serving and loving God. God has been too good. Amen. He's too good. And the fact of the matter is, somebody said, you can't beat God's giving, no matter how hard you try. But an old country preacher said, you can't beat God's giving, but ain't nothing wrong with trying. Go ahead and try it if you want to. You can't outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives to you. Now, I've tried it. Now, don't even start. I ain't got time to tell you about it. I don't have time to go into it. He's not going to let you beat him doing nothing. The more you give, the more he gives to you. I dare you to start giving. You got too many getters in the Lord's business. Give out, give away something. Oh, you see, you're finna unlock your blessing. You help somebody. Give. Be a giver. And you won't be able to beat God at blessing you. Somebody said, every time I turn around. Get sold out. You see, now I'm gonna give to God because actually I'm crazy about it. That's the only man I'm crazy about, by the way. But, no pun intended. I'm crazy about him. Long story short. And first of all, he going to get whatever he want. Huh? That's going to be the first giver. I'm going to give it him. And then his children. If I find a need, if I find somebody who needs some help, somebody who just, I'm gonna bless them with the blessing of the Lord. You said, well, they may not deserve it. They may not. I ain't got nothing to do with that. And by the way, let me throw this in as a caveat. I'm not giving to get. Uh-huh. See that, Steve, that's where the blessing comes in right there. Hey, see, the truth is, but I was, even if he didn't give me anything back, he done made me like this. Even if you don't say thank you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm satisfied with him. And you don't have to pay me back. I'm already paid. I ain't got time to go into it. I'm about to go into it, Lord. I ain't giving to get. No, if you're giving to get, you off on the wrong foot already. God don't You don't go to bless people so God will bless you. You're going to bless folk whether God bless you or not. You ain't got nothing to do with that. We just in the, we just got a God that's too good. I'm just blessing folk. Amen. I ain't trying to get nothing back. Let me get back to my little. Ain't nothing wrong with trying though now. If you want to try. You see what I'm saying? Cleophas. If you want to try it, go ahead. Go ahead. You can try it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I ain't mad at you. Because you're going to find out you can't outgive him unless I hold you too long. And another thing we need to understand is that a lot of times we don't think God is good because we have problems. But you need to understand that disappointments are God's appointments. Did you know that you need those disappointments point out something that needs to be fixed? Whenever God disappoints you, that's a sign for you to do something. Whenever your little heart turn up disappointed, God is trying to work on you. God is trying to fix you. God is trying to adjust you. God is trying to do something to you. When God disappoints you and say you can't have that, God is trying to help you. Because there's one thing about it, when God get ready for you to be blessed or whatever, he'll let it happen. But what he's doing is he's working on you when you get disappointed. That means you got a whole lot of adjusting to do as a Christian. Have you gotten disappointed? Now, you see, God ain't going to bless no bad decision. So if you're going around doing a lot of things, you're going to be disappointed. So you needed to be disappointed. Because God is in the business of molding you and making us like him. He's in the business of getting those things out of our lives that shouldn't be in there. And oftentimes he personally will disappoint us. And what is he doing? He's molding. He's adjusting. He said, no, you can't have that. No, that hurts. No. He'll say no. He'll say no. And what he's doing is he's adjusting. He said, no, my son. No, my child. No, can't go over there. No, no, can't. No, no. I'm getting beat up over here. Yeah, you just became a Christian. I'm on you good. I'm going to work you out real good. I'm meshing you everywhere. You got a whole lot of work need to be fixed on you. Folk at work going to work on you. Your attitude bad. So we're going to put you around some bad folk to tick off your attitude so you can get your attitude right. You got to mature to the point where these folk don't tick you off. Then you done passed the test. You won't be no more folk around you like that. Wouldn't matter if they were. They wouldn't bother you anyway. Because you're walking now the way God wants you to walk. He's growing us up. He's maturing us. And when he disappoints us, then he's correcting and fixing us. He's molding us. Whenever things ain't going your way, you're doing something wrong. Amen. And you need to understand that when God ain't giving you what you want, you may not be ready for what you think you want. Man, don't get God, don't get just because you mixed up, don't mix God up. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he is doing. He's working on you. He's molding you. God's disappointments. Your disappointments are God's appointments. God is right there working on you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's not going to let you stay a baby Christian. Get everything you think you ought to have and everything be happy. And you go to church and say, okay, everything's fine. I'm going to church now. He said, no, he's going to start fixing stuff. He's going to start fixing stuff in your life. Things not going to go your way. Things ain't going to happen like you want them to happen. There's going to be some things you want you may not get. But God, it said, long as you are my sheep, then I know you're in a position where I can mold you and make you who I want you to be. The prodigal son went out and he ate slop. He left his home. He left his family. His father was taking care of him, and he decided he wanted to go to the pig pen. He wanted to be with the prostitutes. He decided he wanted to be out where the lights were bright, and he ended up eating with the hogs. He came home stinking like hogs. He came home with mud between his toes. He came home smelling like hogs. He came home, no doubt, being with all those prostitutes. I don't know what kind of way he came home. But do you know that God was just waiting on him to come? Do you know what God did? God said, bring the robe. Bring the robe. I'm not going to wait to wash him down. I see that mud and all this stuff on him. I know he smells bad. Bring the best robe we got and put it on my boy that ran off. He slammed the door and said, give me everything I want and I'm gone. God gave it all to him and he left. When he got ready to come home, God just covered all his mess up. He said, put a ring on his finger. That means he's got authority now. He can buy whatever he wants. He can go to the store and just put that signet in that wax clay. I want that. Fix him. I'm ready whenever he's getting ready. I'm ready to make him live like a king. He's my boy. Put shoes on his feet. He was barefooted. God will restore you because he's just that kind of a God. You can't make him mad. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. God is too good to us for us to treat him like we do.